RNZ Pacific News, hello gupla day, through lo you, I'm Lydia Lewis. The soaring price of cocoa or cacao is having a dramatic impact for many growers in the Pacific. It's estimated 2 million people in the region rely on income from cacao sales for the likes of school fees. As a result of significantly reduced yields in West Africa, the cacao price has skyrocketed. It's been said the product is now more expensive than some precious metals. A farmer in Madang, Papua New Guinea, Agatha Iag, says the impact of the price surge is huge. She says the value of the 30 to 35 bags of cacao she produces each year is up almost 400%.
2 years ago, one bag cost about 450 kina a bag. Now, 1,700 per bag.
Agatha Iag also runs a nursery and says some of the farmers are forced out of growing cacao by the cocoa border beetle infestation 10 years or so ago and now replanting their trees. There are high hopes a UN plastics treaty being negotiated this week could have major impact on the Pacific region. 175 nations have agreed to develop a legally binding agreement on plastic pollution by 2024, prompting a major step towards reducing greenhouse gas emissions from plastic production, use and disposal. Benioff Ocean Science Laboratory Project scientist Neil Nathan is in Ottawa, Canada, on the sidelines of the negotiations.
In terms of that conversation of how do we generate funds, how do we move funds from the global north to the global south, and how do we generate this infrastructure that's necessary to solve this problem of plastic pollution in our environment and in our oceans, an international fee or a premium on plastic polymers might be the best route forward.
Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and his Papua New Guinea counterpart James Marape have completed the gruelling Kokoda Trek. It's a journey they both embarked on tracing the sacrifices made by soldiers from both nations during World War II as they fought to defend Australia and Papua New Guinea from Japanese invasion. As the Post Courier reports, Mr Albanese at the end of the journey said, "It's an honour to be here standing alongside you, my friend," as he turned to Mr Marape. He went on to say the sacrifices made by both people of both countries on that ground will never be forgotten. The New Zealand Prime Minister says Anzac Day is a day to be grateful for the country's service, men and women, past and present. Thousands gathered at the Auckland War Memorial Museum to commemorate those who fought in the First World War. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon says for him it's a sacred day.
It's a day for us all to just commemorate, remember and to be grateful for Kiwi servicemen and women in the past and also in the present that actually stand up and fight for the values that we believe in as a country. And you know, we have the democracy we have today, we have the freedoms that we have today because of that service.
Meanwhile, the president of the Return Services Association in Cook Islands says a group of Vietnam veterans are taking part in their Anzac Day commemorations. Anzac Day is held one day ahead in Cook Islands, one day after Aotearoa, due to the time difference. Peter Witchman says sharing stories and history is important.
We have here Victor IV, the fourth rotation of veterans or people that went to Vietnam conflict. And on Anzac Day, they will be joining us. We will get together at between 5 a.m. and 5:30. And, of course, we march on, and at 5:30 will be the start of our remembrance.
And tears are falling in Niue as descendants of the 150 soldiers who fought alongside the Māori Battalion in World War I remembered the sacrifices their war heroes made. Preparations are underway for their Anzac commemorations, led by Premier Dalton Tangilangi and New Zealand Speaker of the House Jerry Brownlee. The head of Broadcasting Corporation Niue says the pain the men from Niue went through runs deep and will always be remembered. More than 20 pilot whales have died and 140 more remain in distress during a mass stranding on south of Perth in Western Australia. The Department of Biodiversity Conservation and Attractions, Pierre Curtis, says 26 whales have died. In world news, the US has confirmed in recent weeks secretly shipped long-range missiles to Ukraine for use in its battle for the fight off Russian invaders. A US official says the missiles known as ATACMS have now been used by Ukraine twice, including in an attack on the airfield in Russian-occupied Crimea. The missiles were contained in a $500 million military aid package for Ukraine that US President Joe Biden approved on March the 12th. And Pope Francis phones the Roman Catholic Church in Gaza every day to find out what people are experiencing. The pontiff made the comments in an interview with the American news network CBS that were also played on the BBC.
Every afternoon at 7 p.m., I call Gaza to the parish. There are about 600 people there. It's very hard. Very, very hard. Food goes in, but they have to fight for it. It's very hard.
Francis has consistently spoken in strong terms about the conflict in Gaza. When a Palestinian mother was killed in the grounds of the church in Gaza last year, he said the conflict was not war but terrorism. In sport, Moana Pacifica coach Tom Coventry is pleased that some of their top players are returning from injuries. Current Coventry says this means their lineups can be boosted as the team goes through the critical second part of the Super Rugby Pacific season.
James Lay isn't too far away. Solomon Funaki's not too far away. So some of these boys are coming back at the right time of the season when we've put a heavy load on probably our starting selection. So it enables us to freshen up the pack a little bit later when we get back. Also, you know, put a little bit of spring into our step in the back line as well. So I know we had some early setbacks, but I think it's starting to look good in the second half of the season. The break's coming at the right time too.
Moana Pacifica meet the Fijian Drua in Lautoka on Saturday. The Fijian Drua's top prop, Anna Korovata, is unavailable for the Super W final against the Waratahs on Sunday. Coach Mosese Rauluni believes the other young front rowers in the side will stand out.
Young front rowers are available, and they've played games, and that was the whole thing about this season, getting game time into a lot of the young girls to experience what it's like, and probably need a bit of work, and I'm glad we did it, but here we are at the final, and a lot of the team have had experience of playing Super Rugby, which is really good for us. Anything could happen in the final, as I said, and we're hoping we'll help us along, especially with that front row stock.
Coach Rauluni has named Chiefs front rower Bitila Tawake as Korovata's replacement. The Flying Fijians will get to play three Tier 1 countries during their Europe tour later in the year. Confirmed matches are against Scotland, Wales and Ireland. They will meet Scotland on November 2nd before flying to Wales for a showdown against the Welsh. Their last test will be against Ireland and Dublin on November 23rd. And Cook Islands has high hopes for hosting the 2029 Pacific Games. The Pacific Games Council President Vidya Lakhan met with the Executive Board of Cook Islands Sports and National Olympic Committee. Earlier this week, Lakhan visited French Polynesia, the host of the 2027 Pacific Games. And that's the latest news and sport for RNZ Pacific. You can read more on our website, rnzi.com.